Antakoti Vaishnava Rindakija, Namachangeshu Haridas Thakur Kija, Prem Shikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dwaita Gadadhar Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Rindakija, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Kija, Vrindavan Dhamma Kija, Mathura Dhamma Kija, Navadvipa Mayapur Dhamma Kija, Jagannath Puri Dhamma Kija, Gangamayi Jamuna Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Gauravani Pacharani Nivasesa Sanyavani Paskachade Satarne Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagarja Tam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvoitam Sadvudutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha Panchakalpa Chubhishtha, keep us in the Vyeva Chapati Tanam Pavane Vyavashnavedi Namah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. January 20th, 2019, Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan, India. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 12. Mohini Murthy bewilders Lord Shiva. We're reading texts 1 through 4, and 4 is on the board, so I'll read 1, 2, and 3 myself. Translation for 1 and 2. Sukadev Goswami said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, in the form of a woman, captivated the demons and enabled the demigods to drink the nectar. After hearing of these pastimes, Lord Shiva, who was carried by a bull, went to the place where Madhusudana, the Lord, resides. Accompanied by his wife Uma and surrounded by his companions, the ghosts, Lord Shiva went there to see the Lord's form as a woman." So Prabhupada has no purport here. Avishana Chakravarti Thakur does have a commentary on this verse, to which Srila Prabhupada refers later in the chapter. And that is that Lord Shiva was thinking that at the time of the appearance of Mohini Murthy, who got bewildered? The demons. Did the demigods get bewildered? Did the demigods get bewildered? No. And Lord Shiva is, you could say, the chief of the demigods. So he was thinking, I won't get bewildered. Let me see that form that bewilders the demons. Right? We may also think like that. Oh, other people can get bewildered, but not me. I want to see, I want to experience, and I won't get bewildered. So this was Lord Shiva's mood. Text 3. The Supreme Personality of Godhead welcomed Lord Shiva and Uma with great respect. And after being seated comfortably, Lord Shiva duly worshipped the Lord and smilingly spoke as follows. So here we see the Lord receiving his guests. Yes? Just recently I was in Chennai and we were reading from the 10th canto where Narada Muni appears in Dwarka and the Lord is following the vritti in receiving his guests. So we see here again that the Lord follows etiquette. Lord Shiva is about to glorify the Lord as being superior to himself. Huh? And still, although Lord Shiva is a devotee of Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu is superior to Lord Shiva, still, when Lord Shiva and Uma comes, the Lord welcomes them. Oh, welcome, welcome. Have a seat. Okay? It's explained in the Vedic culture that you should treat a guest like God. Isn't it? So even we see the Lord is following this etiquette of treating a guest like God, giving all respect, all welcome. In fact, this system was current even if the person coming to your door was an enemy. That even an enemy comes to your door, you should give them such a nice reception that they forget that there's any enmity. In the fighting between Bhima and Jarasandha, every day they were fighting, trying to kill each other. And at the evening, Jarasandha was having them as his guests. And this kind of behavior in Vedic culture is meant to engender non-enviousness. This is the whole key. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in the spiritual world, there are rules, but only two of them. In this world, there are so many rules. If you go to the Indian government, you'll find, I'm sure, a whole library full of rules, isn't it? Yes? Then each state will have its own rules, each city. I'm sure in this temple there are many rules. In the Vaikuntha Dham, there's only two rules. Does anyone know what Bhaktivinoda says those two rules are? One do, one do not. Anybody know? Good to know, you know, if we're planning on going there, it's good to know what the rules are, yes? So the do is prema, and the do not is envy. No envy, and has to be prema. Huh? So Prabhupada explains that the difference between material and spiritual, that material means if someone else is unhappy, I am happy. He said we may not want to admit that, but that is actually the reality. We are happy at others' unhappiness, and we are unhappy at others' happiness. That is envy. And spiritual is I am happy at others' happiness. It is a consciousness. And therefore, if we invoke that consciousness, even while geographically we are in this material world inside of a body, then we will experience being in the spiritual world. If we have the mood that we are happy at others' happiness, unhappy at others' unhappiness, that we never rejoice in another's misfortune, we will actually be free of Maya and we will be living in the spiritual world. Narada Muni talks about this in the fourth canto to Dhruva Maharaj. He says, you'll be free of all material miseries if you feel joy upon seeing someone superior, friendship with those who are equal, and compassionate to those who are lower. So the Vedic culture, even for materialistic people who are not aiming for transcendence, had a series of rules and norms and etiquettes that were meant to invoke this spiritual consciousness of love and non-enviousness. Because we think, it's my house, I don't want someone coming to my house. I don't want someone eating my food, right? Staying in my space. It's mine, not yours. So this mood of hospitality, we still see very much in Indian culture, isn't it? Yes? We have to say, 2019, not everything in India is spiritual. Those of you who are Indian, you please forgive me, but I don't think the open sewers are very spiritual. But the hospitality mood is part of this culture that is meant to elevate us. And we see this as practiced even by the Lord. He doesn't say, oh, Shiva and Uma, oh, you're my servants. Bow down to me. He says, welcome, 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 my dear guests. Okay, so we're going to go to text 4, which is on the board. Shri Mahadeva Uvacha. Deva Deva Jagat Vyapin. Jagat Isha Jaganmaya. Sarveshamapi Bhavanam. Tvamatma Heter Ishvara. Shri Mahadeva Uvacha. Lord Shiva Mahadeva said, Deva Deva, O best demigod among the demigods, Jagat Vapni, O all-pervading Lord, Jagat Isha, O master of the universe, Jagat Maya, O my Lord, who are transformed by your energy into this creation. Sarvesham api, all kinds of bhavanam, situations, tvam, you, atma, the moving force, ektahu, because of this, Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, Parameshwar. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Lord Mahadeva said, O chief demigod among the demigods, O all-pervading Lord, master of the universe, by your energy you are transformed into the creation. You are the root and efficient cause of everything. You are not material. Indeed, you are the supersoul or supreme living force of everything. Therefore, you are Parameshwar, the supreme controller of all controllers. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The supreme personality of Godhead Vishnu resides within the material world as the Sattva-gun avatara. Lord Shiva is the Tamagun avatara, and Lord Brahma is the Rajagun avatara. But although Lord Vishnu is among them, he is not in the same category. Lord Vishnu is Devadeva, the chief of all the demigods. Since Lord Shiva is in this material world, the energy of the Supreme Lord Vishnu includes Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu is therefore called Jagat Vyapi, the all-pervading Lord. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Maheshwara, and so people think that Lord Shiva is everything. But here Lord Shiva addresses Lord Vishnu as Jagat Isha, the master of the universe. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Viveshwara, but here he addresses Lord Vishnu as Jagan Maya, indicating that even Viveshwara is under Lord Vishnu's control. Lord Vishnu is the master of the spiritual world, yet he controls the material world also, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suryate Satcharacharam. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are also sometimes called Ishvara, but the supreme Ishvara is Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Paramaha Krishna. The supreme Lord is Krishna, Lord Vishnu. Everything in existence works in proper order because of Lord Vishnu. Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. Even Paramanu, the small atoms, work because of Lord Vishnu's presence within them. Shri Mahadeva Uvacha, Deva Deva Jagavyapin, Jagad Isha Jaganmaya, Sarvesham Api Bhavanam, Tvam Atma Hetu Ishvara. Lord Mahadeva said, O chief demigod among the demigods, O all-pervading Lord, master of the universe, by your energy you are transformed into the creation. You are the root and efficient cause of everything. You are not material. Indeed, you are the supersoul or supreme living force of everything. Therefore, you are Parameshwar, the supreme controller of all controllers. So Lord Shiva represents the ahankara, the false ego, that I am the Lord, I am the master, I am the center, I am the controller. And it is this false ego that is the source of all of our problems. We may think we have a problem because it's cold. In a few months, we will think we have a problem because it's hot. We may think we have a problem because we don't have enough money, or we want to marry, or we want to be not married, or we want children, or we want our children to grow up, or we want a career, or we want to retire, or, you know, we may think that those are our problems, that everybody's criticizing me, or everyone's praising me too much, whatever. We're thinking these are our problems, but our only problem is that we are thinking that I am the center, and I am the Lord, and this world is for me to enjoy. Because as soon as we think like that, then we are affected by these dualities. Heat, cold, happiness, distress, honor and dishonor, fame, infamy. Yes? I was listening to Prabhupada yesterday saying these are like the waves in the Atlantic Ocean. Of course, Prabhupada was on a boat in the Atlantic Ocean, and there were many waves. And he said, you cannot stop the waves, but you can be out of them. Don't identify with the waves. So this false ego has us identifying with the waves of material nature. And that's why we are suffering. We are not suffering exactly because there's birth, death, old age, and disease. We are not suffering because of adiatmic, adidaivic, adibhautic. We are suffering because we identify with birth, death, old age, and disease, because we identify with this as our atma, because we think someone is my friend, someone is my enemy. That is why we are suffering. So Lord Shiva epitomizes this false ego as the, as Prabhupada saying, the tamagun avatar. And he is showing us the way to get free of all of our suffering and to attain our eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Yesterday I was giving some training to the teachers at the Gurukulam, the BGIS. So they had a very funny sign on the wall. It said, form these good habits. So it had a list of good habits, you know, exercise daily, be kind to others, right? And at the bottom of the list of good habits, it said, live forever. So I was trying to figure out how I could make that a daily habit. You know, and I said to them, no matter what is your daily habits, the body will die and the soul will live. Huh? So we are always already living forever. We are not affected by this world. We cannot be affected by heat and cold, by weapons, by harsh words. Impossible. As Krishna says, 5th chapter, 13th chapter, the Bhagavad Gita, we are only the observer. But how to attain to that? The way to attain to that is to awaken our real ego. Jivera Swarupaya Krishnana Nityadarsha. As soon as I awaken that real ego, immediately, right? Immediately. Mamcha Yoga, Charanya Bhakti Yoga in the Sevite, Sagunan Samatitya Itam Brahma Bhuyayaka. Finish. Daivyeshu Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratiya Mam Eva Yeka Padyante Mayam Etam Turamtite. You may say, Lord Shiva is recognizing that he is the servant and Krishna is the master, but just a few verses from now, he is going to become very bewildered. But his bewilderment is not going to be from Mahamaya. His bewilderment is going to be from the Lord himself, in a playful way, in a loving way, not in a miserable way. Lord Shiva will not be suffering because of being bewildered by Mohini Murti. He'll be happy, actually, that he's demonstrating that Krishna is the master and he is the servant. And Krishna is the master so much that Krishna can even take away his equilibrium. He is going to rejoice at that. Generally, our renunciation is the one opulence that cannot be easily taken away, isn't it? Our beauty, we can lose, some disease, some accident, or if you just go around the sun enough times, you'll lose it. Your wealth, you can lose, just the markets change and you look at your computer and you have no money. Fame can turn to infamy in about 2 seconds. Your strength, you can lose again, accident, illness. Knowledge, again, accident, illness. All the opulences, but renunciation, it's hard to take away our renunciation, isn't it? But Krishna can take it away. He took it away for Lord Shiva. Oh, you think you're so renounced. You're not even bewildered by your wife, who's the personification of the illusory energy. But I can bewilder you. And he embarrassed him, right? He took him through all the sages, hermitages. So Lord Shiva is showing us that if you have this mood of a servant, that Krishna is the master, then you will always be joyful. Brahmabhuta prasanatma. This morning I was hearing Prabhupada saying the first symptom that one is liberated is that one will always be joyful. One will never be morose. Of course, there are types of ecstasy that appear to be moroseness. The devotee sometimes in ecstasy is crying torrents of tears. Like Madhavendra Puri, he's on his deathbed and he's crying, I have not attained Mathura, I have not attained Mathura. And Ramachandra Puri is saying, Nasochajina Kanchajina. So the ecstasy has different flavors. But one who is liberated is always expanding in joyfulness. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. The impersonalists try to achieve this simply by detachment or mechanics. But we achieve this by realizing I am just a servant. The opposite of the false ego. The false ego is I am the master. Now you can say bhakti is much easier than these other processes because I go right to the source of realizing I am the servant. But there's also something very difficult about bhakti. It's going smack into the false ego. If you take up the other processes of yoga, that's not so obvious. You can think, I am a great yogi, I can raise my kundalini and swirl all my chakras, and I am the master of the body. In fact, Prabhupada says the joy of Astanga yoga is feeling that you are the master of the body and the senses. In Gyan Yoga, you can think, I am a great philosopher. In Karma Yoga, you can think, I am a great actor in the world. But in Bhakti, from the beginning, one has to surrender one's false ego, at least a little bit. So therefore, that is the difficulty of Bhakti. So what are the inducements to surrender is this glorification of the Lord. The more we glorify the Lord, the more we start to realize, oh, maybe I'm not the Lord. Even Lord Shiva is not the Lord. Each of these terms he's using to glorify the Lord are juxtaposed with Lord Shiva's position to show that Lord Vishnu is above even Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva's calling, right? What is he saying? Deva, Deva. You are the demigod among the demigods. Jagat Vyapi, Jagat Isha, Jagat Maya. Then Sarvamapi Bhavanam Tvam Atma. He's saying things about Lord Vishnu that are not applicable to himself, Lord Shiva. So the more we glorify the Lord, whether in the kirtan of chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Whether in talking about the Lord, whether in studying the Shastra, the more we start to appreciate, wait a minute, He's the Master. He's the Master. And He's a much better Master than me. Any of us very successful at being the master of the world? Has it worked out well for anybody? And even sometimes, when it works out well and we get what we want has the opposite effect. Yes? Prahlad Maharaj says that. He says, many times, what you do gives you the opposite of what you want. Isn't this a fact? Right? We get that nice plate of prasadam and we just get a stomachache. We get the opposite of what we desire. So we're not very good masters, not individually and not collectively. And when we read about the Lord and we glorify the Lord, eventually, little by little by little by little by little, we start to soften our firm stance of false ego and decide, maybe I will be happy as an insignificant servant. Maybe. At first, when we glorify the Lord, we may feel, it may be just official perhaps, yes, glory, glory, God is great. And when you think about it, after a while you may feel resentful. Why is he the transcendental autocrat? Some of you remember Gauri Prabhu used to be here in Vrindavan. He talked about when he first read Krishna book and he was reading about Rasalila before he joined the movement. He thought, why does Krishna get all the gopis? Why don't I get any? This is our natural feeling. Why does he get to run everything? Why not me? Or at least we go to him and try to tell him what to do. Okay, Lord, I've offered you so many sticks of incense and I've chanted so many mantras. I follow the regulative principles for the last 5,000 years. Look, would you please give me this and this and this? That resentment that he's the master. And eventually it comes to the point where we say, yes, just like Advaitacharya, who's of course a manifestation of Sadashiva, he says, Chaitanya Radhasa Mui Chaitanya Radhasa, Chaitanya Radhasa Mui Tanya Radhasa Radhasa. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, and I am a servant of his servants. That we can rejoice in that. That we can embrace it, we can run to it. Even life after life, whatever service. Surrender of the body. Yes, I will do whatever will please you. Surrender of the mind. I will always think of you. And surrender of the soul, which is explained whatever birth, janma, janma. Prabhu said, whatever birth you want to put me in, kita janma hoy, you want to make me an insect, that's all right. You can put my soul wherever you want. And we are happy to be a servant. So let's go through just quickly these different, we could speak about each of them probably for a year, but we'll just go quickly through these different glorifications of the Lord. And as we go through them, let us try to imbibe this mood of Lord Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava. That what Lord Shiva is doing is he's exemplifying for us how to take our false ego and transform it into real ego. So first he says, Deva, Deva. Of course, Arjuna also says this, Deva, Deva, Jagatpate. You are the chief demigod. So Deva, Deva could refer to who? Who could be Deva, Deva?
Krishna.
Krishna, who else? Could we say could be Deva Deva? Shiva, could we say that? Brahma, Indra, sure. You could say Indra. Indra means chief. So you could say Indra is the Deva Deva. You could say Brahma is the Deva Deva. All the Devas are within his body. You could say Lord Shiva is the Deva Deva. But still, Prabhupada points out here that although Lord Vishnu appears to be one of the devas, just like when Lord Vishnu appears on this planet, he sometimes appears as a human. Yeah? Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, they appear to be human. So Lord Vishnu appears to be a demigod. You know, when Krishna came to this earth, he was touching the ground so much so that his feet left imprints. Yeah? But when Lord Vishnu comes, generally he doesn't. I think it was a Prithu sacrifice. He let his feet touch the ground. But generally the demigods, when they come, their feet are not touching the ground. So Vishnu appears to be one of the demigods, but as Prabhupada is saying here, he's not. Just like when Krishna appears to be a human being, he's not. He appears actually within all species. A fish, a turtle, so many things. So he's really the chief among the demigods, not because he is one of the demigods and he's the highest among them, because that could be a matter of debate. But because he existed before the demigods and he's the creator of them, he's actually in a completely different category. Then all-pervading, jagat-vyapi, everywhere. So what a wonderful feature of the Lord that he's everywhere. Of course, Hiranyakashipu challenged this. If he's everywhere, is he in the pillar? And Prahlad's like, yeah. It's wonderful that the Lord is everywhere, because that means that we can access him everywhere. And if I try to access anyone else, I have to be in the right place at the right time. Even if I'm going to call them, I have to call them at the right time, isn't it? I used to wonder why it was only people who grew up in India who would call me in other parts of the world at 2 in the morning. And I finally realized that in India there's only one time zone. So if you grow up in India, you don't have a sense that in the other parts of the world, people are living at a different time. So if I want to access someone else at the world, better I don't call them at 1 in the morning their time. And I have to have a connection, they have to have a connection. Or they may be busy, they may be in another call, or maybe they don't like me, they don't want to talk to me, maybe my number comes up and they go, oh, Urmila, I'm not going to talk to her. But Krishna is everywhere, he's all pervading. He can always be accessed in all time zones. You don't even need a device. Right? He's in every atom, as Prabhupada quotes here. He's never far away. You can say he's far away, Goloka Eva Nivasatya Kulatma Bhuto, but at the same time, Rideshir Junatist, he's very near. This also means, because he's all pervading, that everything is ultimately spiritual, Sarva Kalamidam Brahma. It's not just that I'm here and he's there and I can access him, but everything is full of his energy. Therefore, I can be in spiritual consciousness anywhere and anytime by realizing that. Then the universal master, he's in charge. I remember when I lived at Gita Nagari and Tamal Krishna Goswami was our GBC. So if any of you knew him, he was an excellent manager. He was always on top of everything. Material and spiritual. Everybody always had what they needed. I mean, just all the time. And it was such a safe and secure feeling to be under an authority like that. You didn't have to worry about things that weren't your business to worry about. You know, if the authority's not so together, it's always anxiety, isn't it? Right? Or in the world with our governments. So most of us are in countries where we have some anxiety about the government. Or we have some anxiety about our employer at work or whoever is in charge of our life. You know? But to have a good master. So I heard this one story once. A Christian minister was telling this story, how he and his wife were going someplace. I think they were going shopping. And so they took their little children and put them in the car. And on the way, they stopped at a neighbor to drop something off. They stopped to put petrol in the car. And then he was driving too fast on the road. The police officer pulled him over and gave him a ticket. And after a while, his three-year-old daughter said, "Daddy, where are we going?" And he said, "Oh, we're going this and this place." And she said, "Okay." And he thought, she's been in the car now already maybe 45 minutes. We were stopping different places. Lights are flashing. Someone's coming to the car. So many things are happening. And all that time, she didn't ask where we were going. After a while, she asked where we were going. But she was peaceful. He said, not because she knew where we were going, but because she knew who was driving. So we don't know where we're going. Do we know where we're going? Anybody can say, "I know what's going to happen in the next hour." But we know who's driving. We know who's the master. We know who's in charge. And he's everywhere. He knows everything, and he's our best friend. This is, of course, the formula for peace. Right? And then all energies are under his control. Everything. Any kind of energy that we could possibly think of. I mean, we can say the Lord has two energies or three energies or unlimited energies. I can't control all my energies. Can any of you control all your energies? Anybody? Anybody tried to fast from sleep ever? Who's ever tried to fast from sleep? Like do a near-jowl stay up all night? Any of you? None of you have tried to do that. It's difficult. Fasting from food, okay. Fasting from water, a little harder. Fasting from sleep, that's hard. You know, at about 2 in the morning. But to speak if you tried fasting from sleep for days without taking any kind of chemical, eventually you would start dreaming while walking. What to speak of trying to control our anger? Anybody here 100% successful at controlling their anger? So controlling our own energies is not so easy, but Krishna's energy is completely under his control. Imagine that. How much could you trust somebody whose energies were completely under their control? Isn't that why we have trouble trusting people? We think, okay, I know you're a nice person, I know you like me, I know you're a moral person, you're responsible, but you know, can you control all your energies all the time? Maybe you're going to do something foolish. But Krishna is always in control completely of all of his energies. He's the life of all. We're so attracted to life. Anything that's alive has some attractive value. You see children, they're attracted by even little insects walking, isn't it? But Krishna is the life of all that lives. He is giving life to everything. And think of how much attraction we can feel for another jiva. I hope all of us have some other person in our life who we love or have loved. If you can think of that person, maybe your mother, your father, sister, brother, husband, wife, child, nephew, niece, friend, someone who you've loved and you found them attractive, captivating. Right? Once when I was in an airport, there was this little girl, 2 years old or so. She was dressed in a costume. We were waiting to board the plane, and she had this nice, loving relationship with her parents. And everybody in that line was captivated. Everybody. And everybody who walked past. But that's just one jiva who can captivate us. So we can become captivated by a little puppy dog, you know, a little calf. As imagine, who is the life of all that lives, the sum total of all life, how captivating he must be. how attractive. If we can be attracted by one butterfly, one puppy, one little child, one person, how attractive is Krishna, who is the life of everything, the mover of all things, the impetus for everything. How much we all want to feel inspired and motivated and enthused. We're longing for that. We're longing to have something to do, some place to be, people to be with, who enthuse us and motivate us, where we feel inspired. But Krishna is that. He's the ultimate inspiration and mover and motivator and inspirer of everything all the time. He is the sum total of all inspiration. And the supreme Ishwara. One thing that I find particularly interesting is how this word for word is translated, Jagat Maya. Oh my Lord, who are transformed by your energy into this creation. I find this particularly interesting because Srila Prabhupada speaks at length in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 7 about the fact that the Lord is not transformed into the creation, that it's the Lord's energies that have been transformed into the creation, that the Lord remains as He is. And I was just listening to Srila Prabhupada speak about this point this morning, that if some person creates a business, that still he remains as a separate person. So it seems that this particular translation of Jagat Maya, oh my Lord, who were transformed by your energy into this creation, seems to imply that the Lord is now the creation and doesn't exist separately from it. But the understanding of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva is this creation is the Lord as the universal form, and yet He is separate. The fact that the Lord manifests as this creation puts us in a remarkable situation. The fact that everything we can see, hear, taste, touch, smell, think about, plan about, is the universal body, which is the Lord's form, means we're always interacting with the Lord. Always. And it's just a question of our awareness. In this way, we can be conscious of the Lord in this moment. The Lord is here as the light of luminous objects, the light of the sun, the purifying wind, my abilities, my intelligence, the heat and fire. He's the force of gravity holding me to the earth. He's my digestive fire. He's joining with my air of life. I am within His body. And in this way, we can be aware of Him at every moment. So by meditating on these ways in which the Lord is the Supreme, we gradually will come to surrender our false idea that we are the Supreme. And then, like Lord Shiva, who again is the master of the false ego, we will surrender the only thing that is ours to surrender, really. As Prabhupada writes in the 15th chapter, we have to know what is ours and what is not ours. And the only thing that is mine is my free will, my stubborn desire to be independent. And reading here and meditating on this, I can take that stubborn, independent desire and offer it at the lotus feet of the Lord, at which time I will feel no effect of the material miseries, regardless of the waves of the Atlantic Ocean, and I will feel unlimitedly joyful in all circumstances. So we have about 5 minutes, questions, comments, additions, subtractions. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna, Bhakti Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vasuvanam Asukamteya Pramasmi Sashi Suryayo Pranava Saradeshu Shantake Aucham Vishu. And more on that.
Many more.
Yeah. And in chapter 9 also, he describes his opulence. Serial verses in chapter 9 or so. So as Prabhupada explained that it is for our meditation, as you said, that by meditating on what Krishna says like that, that we become aware of where is Krishna, how we can perceive Krishna. So, but it is still on the kind of intellectual level. It doesn't mean that we are at the point of love of Krishna.
Why does it have to be at an intellectual level?
Because it starts with that. We are
okay, it can start with that, but it doesn't have to stay there. Why don't you try it right now? Which one would you like to meditate on right now? That's in our environment right now.
For example, this one I just...
Pick one.
So the first one, Rasoham.
Well, you're not drinking water right now, so that's not going to be effective. Pick one that you're experiencing right now. I'm the only, I have water, but I don't see you having
Krishna
any.
Says,
so pick something
song,
else.
Krishna says, Shabdake.
Okay, and the sound beneath it. And Prabhupada explains that all the sounds we hear are reflection of the spiritual sound. Okay, so let's pay attention. Let's just be quiet for a minute and listen to any sounds. Now meditate, not intellectually, emotionally, that those sounds are reflections of the original sounds of the Lord. Prabhupada says in Krishna book, the whole world is full of Krishna's singing, but is appreciated differently by different persons. Each of the sounds you hear, feel, they're a little reflection of some part of Krishna's singing. And when Krishna's singing, just like when Krishna plays his flute, each cowherd boy, each gopi hears their own name. In these sounds that we can hear, it is the reflection of Krishna's singing, and he is calling us. Did it get out of the head? Did it get out of the head?
Sorry, I don't understand.
Did it get out of your head and into your heart? A little bit? Did it drip down a little bit? Just practice. We're not practicing Gyan Yoga, we're practicing Bhakti Yoga. So these things are not just for us to be gyanis about. Yes, Krishna is the sound in ether. So that car horn and the child making noise and the clanging of the pots, that is all a reflection of the spiritual world. We're not gyanis. We're not supposed to be gyanis. We're supposed to be bhaktas. So we should feel them. Some little reflection trickling in. It's calling me. Can you feel it a little bit at least? Let's practice. Yes, please. Sadhana bhakti means practicing bhakti. Hare Krishna. Thank you for asking that question. Lovely, lovely question. Yes.
Thank you for your erudite presentation.
Hare Krishna.
I want to rewind you back to your comments. I think you saw that who actually can.
That what?
Who actually can. control the energy.
Yes.
So I thought of the Shastra says that the guru is the embodiment of the 33 million demigods. So are they controller of the energy also?
Ah, well, a liberated soul can control their energies by Krishna's grace. Vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam. So that's one of the symptoms. But that's by Krishna's grace. It's by Krishna's grace. If you try to control your energies by force of will and determination, you'll end up getting a nice lesson like Vishwamitra Muni. Go ahead and try. If you think, by my power, Hiranyakashipu controlled his energy so much, you know. But then after he got what he wanted, he was completely uncontrolled. He was yelling at the demigods for no reason, always intoxicated. He wasn't very happy. Happy people don't yell for no reason and stay intoxicated. Right? Only unhappy people want to get intoxicated. And only unhappy people are yelling at others for no reason. So the way the devotee controls his senses, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Rishite, Krishna controls our senses. And as Krishna's about to demonstrate with Lord Shiva, if he decides not to, then they're not controlled anymore. It's up to Krishna. Krishna withdrew that from Lord Shiva. He bewildered him. It was Leela, it was play, but this, that's the point. Devotee senses are controlled by Krishna. It's a loving thing. And therefore we find that the devotees, unlike the impersonalists, they may sometimes display whole ranges of emotions, but it's in bhakti. We just heard the bell ringing. You know, Prabhupada got angry when the bell didn't ring on time here in Vrindavan. Mother Yasoda got angry at Krishna. But they're using it, not losing it. It's on a different level. So thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.